interview with Mr. Charles Simpson of Jamaica, and it's dated September 14th, 1994, on behalf of Research Project for Brooklyn Historical Society. Okay, Mr. Simpson, could you tell us where you were born and when you came to Brooklyn and why?
I was born in Kingston, Jamaica. I came to Brooklyn, New York in 1970. And the whole object really was a transfer between both governments, because I came here with a social working group. I used to do social work in Jamaica after I left the military service there. And I came here with a group, and a group from here went down there to work, do social work in Jamaica. So it was like more like an exchange between a group of, but it had something to do with governmental exchange.
How long did you stay in the military in Jamaica?
I did 6 years in the Jamaica military and then did 1 year social work.
When you came here first, what were your impressions of Brooklyn?
First of all, I coming here for the first time, I was a little bit strange, but most of my relatives were actually here, so I could fit into the system very easily. And away from that, I was very, very much involved and active in the West Indian community here. I actually was one of the founders of West Indies International Association, and that was, I would say it was created, I think it was 12 ex-West Indian servicemen, and our function was to get the young Caribbean nationals together. We started a field hockey association, which we entered into the John F. Kennedy Memorial Tournament for years. We branched off into soccer, and we also had a cricket team. So we had both male and female, and it was going extremely well. And out of that group, we founded the ex-West Indian Serviceman Association that was located, I think we were located at Flatbush Avenue and Lenox, and we were there for quite some time.
Now, when you came to Brooklyn, what really wasn't important to you when you first came?
I guess schooling, like every other West Indian, first thing we want to do, go on to school, further ourselves, and look and take care of the family back home, because I think there was a wider opportunity here for us, and we could contribute back something to the fellows back home. And actually, I was very active in, like I said before, I was very active in the West Indian community, because we did a heck of a lot of charity work for the schools back home, which we think needed a lot of support. So throughout my, I would say I'm here now 25 years, and predominantly my service I've been trying to work back home and the West Indies as a whole.
Now, Jamaica does not have a history of carnival per se. When did you get involved with carnival and why? Give us an idea of how you got involved in carnival.
It is plain simple of me getting involved in carnival, because I've always said my first nationality is a black man and my second nationality is a Caribbean person. So my commitment to carnival is a matter of, especially carnival in Jamaica, that's the commitment I made from way back, and I think it was about 1985. There was a commitment, and as I said prior to that, I was very, very much involved from 1970 in getting the Caribbean community together. So when I started to travel to Trinidad into carnival, and I see what here was an opportunity for me to take it to Jamaica so that we could help, as Jamaica was the last string that didn't have a carnival. This was a commitment, something I dreamed about and worked about for years to get together the final string to complete the Caribbean carnival community. And I'm very happy involving the carnival scene. Today Jamaica have a carnival, and I'm very happy over that. I know I was a part of that room.
Now, as one of the founders of the Jamaica Carnival, what year did you officially bring carnival to Jamaica, and what why did you decide to do it that year?
Well, put it this way. Being involved deeply in the Caribbean community, I'm very heavily involved. And as I say in the past, it started, I use sports as a means of doing that. We did the hockey, we did the cricket. As you know, we had a club once by the name of Love People One. And my partner Francis, we called Frano, and myself, we, for some reason, someone had approached Frano. I think Frano have to get credit for that. And wanted us, because we were in the record producing business, wanted us to produce one of the Calypsoan. And I think Frano is really responsible for this. He took up Rootsman. And it was an instant hit. Rootsman was an instant hit. And from Rootsman, we went on to Bali. And from Bali, we went on to the Alberto and I think it was the Llama and Lady Venus and numerous of that. And out of that, actually, put it this way, I happened to go to Jamaica in the early 80s. I was invited down there to what you call an Orange Carnival, which really wasn't a carnival, it's what we call a fete. It was done between some society thing. And I am one of them who strictly fight against that society thing, who tends to shut out, in my own honest opinion, tend to shut out the average Jamaican. And after seeing that, it was to me, I didn't like what I saw. And I made a commitment to myself, and I vowed to my partners that that thing gotta go, because all Jamaicans have to take part in this sort of thing. And when I was in Jamaica, in Trinidad, it hit me. Everything came to me like that. As a matter of fact, I was coming on a plane from Trinidad, and I just couldn't sleep that night. And the whole image of Jamaica Carnival just hit me. We started, I think, with about 1985, 86, somewhere around there, with a thing called Soca Madness. A group of us, three of us from New York and two in Jamaica. We came together. We formed an organization by the name of Apple Jam Production. Apple Jam Production represent three from New York and two from Jamaica. The three from New York was the Apple, the two from Jamaica was the Jam, so it becomes Apple Jam Production. And we started off the first year. What we did was to break down that barrier that we saw there. I think we only had about $80 to go in, or $60 to go in, and children $20, something like that. But it was a whole family affair. So we changed the whole structure of what we saw with the Orange Carnival thing, and bring it more into a family affair. And this, we took it out into the country, up into the mountain, and I think we turned out 4,000 people for the first year, which was much bigger than what they had. And out of that, which was very successful, it becomes a very annual thing. And you know, the mind grows, the carnival grows in my head, and I put pieces together, I write and I rub out and I put, and I try to study the whole Caribbean affair. When I wanted to do the Jamaica Carnival, I wanted to make certain that it didn't involve or interfere with any other Caribbean island carnival. So it wasn't an easy thing to find a slot, you know, it wasn't an easy thing. But we were very happy, and then move on further, then I think that's when I called Byron Lee, and we sit down with Byron Lee, which you know about this thing. I think quite a few people in this country, for some reason it is easily hidden in the Jamaican community, but people in America know about it. People in Trinidad, they know who put it together. I mean, you can hide as much as you want to hide. It's no, and it's going to be coming out more and more and more, because today, for some reason, I was sending an application to one of these company, and I happened to find the original flyer for Jamaica Carnival, which was the launching of Jamaica Carnival. This was 1989 in November, right here. And it was, I brought up Miss Jamaica from Jamaica, for Miss Jamaica Wonderland, for that launching. It was under the patronage of the Jamaican consulate, Derek Haven, and it was endorsed by the Jamaica Tourist Board. So, and this was 1989, and a lot of people in Jamaica don't know that Jamaica official carnival was really launched right here in New York. It's like a secret down there.
No, I'm fully well aware, yes, that carnival, Jamaica Carnival, was launched in New York, because as a matter of fact, you as a founding member were very much responsible for it. Now, over the years, you have brought back carnival bands. Last year you brought a band from New York to Jamaica, and you've been having mixed success in respect to your carnival. What would you like to see developed or improved over the years with respect to Jamaica Carnival now?
I think we were blessed. Anybody who went to Jamaica for the first year, and first of all, I got to congratulate Baron Lee because he did a fantastic job. It makes no sense you take praise for certain things. I know some people would like to get all the praise and then to shut out someone else, but you know, what you achieve. You see, it's a little bit easy for me because I take a hell of a lot of beating over the last couple of years. But why it's not as difficult for me is that while I don't want to lose money like any other one, I think Caribbean people is more my goal. So when I get a beaten, I can absorb it much easier than somebody who goes in 100% just to make money. Because unity amongst Caribbean people is always my first goal. So with the beaten, I can take a little bit. It makes it a little easier for me. You know, if it was money, then I would be in trouble. But Caribbeanism is my first goal. The first year, as I said, it's unbelievable because anyone who went to Jamaica for the first year and saw that carnival would never believe it was the first year. It looked like it was about 20 years. We were about 20 years in advance. We are drawing tremendous crowd. For what I understand in Jamaica now, unbelievably, I have reggae sun splash for about approximately 17 years. Summerfest is in its second year. And I think right now it's safe to say, and I get this one from within the grapevine, that Jamaica Carnival is bringing in the most dollars into the country than any other event.
And that's over a period of how many years?
This next year will be 1995. It's only 6 years.
6 years?
Yeah. Yeah, next year will be six. Presently we are five. So you can see, you know. But I very disappointingly, I would like to say we're a little bit stagnant because what I would like to say to Jamaica Carnival is that although I'm a part of it, but I have to do it for the time being until it's grown, we are bringing in too much outsiders into it. We have to do it anyway, and I don't mind because, like I said, my commitment is Caribbeanism. We want to see them there. We want them to come into it and be a part of it, but we have to teach our own. In other words, the Jamaicans have to learn to make the costume. The Jamaicans have to learn and get involved in the calypso singing. Put it this way, people ask a question and a lot of people don't realize it. If you ask someone who over 40, which is Jamaica original music, they're going to tell the calypso.
Because, is that correct?
Yes, because calypso is what I born and grew on.
In Jamaica?
In Jamaica. Calypso is born and we born and grew on. You must remember that reggae music and ska music didn't start until about 30 years ago.
Sure.
What is the music before that? Calypso music.
Some people tell you mento.
Well, mento is calypso music. Barbadian played on Carl Spoot and it's the same music. Yeah. Unbelievably, you wouldn't
know.
Exactly. You wouldn't know. It's the same music. That's why I tell you now. Yes, we call it mento. But it's calypso. Today Barbadian call it spooge, and that's why Barbadian music can correspond with Jamaican so easily, because it's within the blood. And next thing that we grew on, and that's how the ska came out, is because we Jamaicans are right in the middle of it's so funny. We were ruled by Britain. Mm-hmm. We are at the foot of America. Mm-hmm. So all the rhythm and blues that come out of New Orleans and all these things, we used to pick it up on a radio station named WNZ. So all of that rhythm and blues is a part of Jamaican system. So ruled by Britain, get the music from America, in the middle of a Spanish-speaking nation, you see we actually have four different music that's surrounded within our system, within our blood. And out of that, if you can listen, you hear the ska music, which is really the American rhythm and blues, and the mento music, which if you listen to Jamaican music very carefully now, you still hear that music in the background. So it haven't gone anywhere. It's right there.
Now, over the years, since Carnival started in Jamaica, I remember your first venture, you told me that you were going to go down to Trinidad, and that you were going to bring up people like Robert Minshall and a number of other people who were experts in terms of producing the mass. Now, that has been the situation up to now. How do you see this changing in the future? Would Jamaicans go down to Trinidad or Trinidad come up to Jamaica to teach them the techniques of wire bending and other production of mass?
Well, I'm very happy with what you asked that question because right...
Continuing. Jamaica Carnival is very important, and Jamaica Carnival has had the input of the Trinidad and Tobago Carnival community. People like Robert Minshall, who has in fact brought the mass to to Jamaica, and have in fact taught Jamaicans how to produce the mass. How do you see this as evolving in the future?
Okay, one of the things that we're doing now, and as I was saying prior to this, is that we have to start teaching Jamaica to make a costume. And that's the only way our carnival will grow, because the youth have to learn. Quite a few of the costumes have been made in Trinidad. What you find out is happening now, and I'm very happy over this. My designer that I take to Jamaica each year is Fuzzy Davis. He makes for Barakeet, a beautiful person. He goes down, I remember one year he went down with me with Regic Snell. And there's another gentleman there, he's now in Miami. They went down and they sit with the Alpha Boys, a boys' school that turned out 90% of Jamaican musicians. There's kids a little less fortunate. They went down, I remember, in 1992, they sit with them, taught them to make the costumes, which was good. But what I'm doing at this moment here, I think Byron Lee have done it. Byron Lee have done it. Last year, they went back to a lot of the costume in Trinidad. What I've done this year, I have sit with Neville Hind, which is the chief designer for Barakeet and Masmen in New York as well as in Trinidad. We have come together and we have gotten an agreement, and Neville is going to come down with us in Jamaica this year, and we are going to run a little clinic down there. So he'll be there for a week with us. We'll run a little clinic where we'll teach the children how to bend wires, as you asked, and to make a costume. So I think if we can, because let's say now, there's a lot of mass bands springing up in Jamaica now. I'm of the opinion that one or two person want it all for themselves, but you can't take that away from.
Continuing in respect to the Brooklyn Carnival, an interview with Mr. Charles Simpson, one of the founders of, one of the founders of Jamaica Carnival. Mr. Simpson, you are continuing your thoughts in respect to the link between Jamaica Carnival and Carnival in the Caribbean and also Brooklyn.
Yes, as I was saying, you have quite a few bands. There's mass bands now springing up all over Jamaica, which is the best thing that can ever happen to us. It's not more no Jamaica Carnival Byron Lee thing. Now you have the Oakridge Boys are the carnival doing very well. Last year I created and founded Fury Carnival, which is supposed to be the people's thing, and we ventured out into the country parishes, which nobody have touched that part before, so it was like virgin territory, and the turnout was very well. This year, there's another group now have taken Fury Carnival and they have moved on. And I have now continued my theme, which is spreading the carnival. That's a commitment that I have, spreading the carnival within Jamaica. Years ago, I made a commitment that, and this is my personal commitment because of my commitment to Caribbeanism, that every year I will take another Caribbean person who have never entertainer who have never gone to Jamaica before. And I've been doing that now from 1985 up until this present moment. I am very happy to say I was the first to take in Rootsman in Jamaica, the first to take in Bali, we took in Chandelier, we took in Baron, Shadow, the Dennis Plummer that other people is claiming credit for. We are the first to take in Dennis Plummer, we took in Levy, Lovey, De Lama. I think designer. I can go on and go on and go on there more, but that's a part of my commitment, because I honestly believe that the Caribbean island belongs to all of us. There's some other little water that separates us, and as long as I have the energy and the bread, I'm gonna keep on fighting for that. You know. So back to what we're saying is now it is now spreading. We went into the country this year, and I'm surprised to see in St. Elizabeth there was over 20,000 revelers, and people turn out on the street, revelers jumping. The same thing happened in Mape and Clarendon. In rain, we had about 4,000 people in rain in St. Elizabeth, over 10,000 people in Mape and Clarendon. So some people is asking me today how I do it, but it's simple. If you have any interest of the people, it will happen. If you're just thinking of you alone, it's more difficult. But, you know, the only thing that I'm a little bit disappointed in Jamaica is, like, there's a ring, there's a circle. Very hard to get in that circle. They will do anything to keep you out of it. It's not easy, you know. You have to fight to achieve. You really have to fight.
Now, that brings me to another question in respect to Jamaica Carnival. Who are the people who really participate in the carnival since its inception? And what would you like to see develop based on that participation?
The first year participation, and I speak with no water in my mouth, it was what we call the uptown people, which is the halves. They can afford to buy a costume. I think the first year the costume was about, the cheapest one, about three something, five. Today costume selling for 1,500 and 2,000 and 2,500 or 3,000. It's ridiculous. There is no way on God Earth our carnival can survive with this sort of thing. In other words, some people, it's a sad that, in my opinion, I don't think Jamaica have a middle. We either rich or we either poor, one or the other. What I don't like about it is that people will tell you that I don't want you. But the way in which they do it, they don't use them out and tell you. They put certain things in place. And that's how they speak. So when you sell a costume for $2,000, what you're telling the other person, I don't want you. You understand? And the price to go into events is ridiculous. Now when you look at the average person in Jamaica earning $300-$500 a week, you're gonna tell him to buy a costume for $2,000? You crazy? Now I'm gonna buy a loaf of bread next. You follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I have a commitment. 1991 I was ill, so I couldn't take part in it. 1992 I came up with the downtown carnival. I purposely know it was terrible sabotage. It was sabotage in every form of way that I wouldn't be out there. The word was on the street that downtown carnival had the best costumes, but the general public never got an opportunity to see it. We paid for a truck. Chandelier was in Ocean Hotel sitting there. You had Rootsman, you had Shadow, singing Francine, designer, about nine international artists singing there, ready to go on the parade, people dressed in the costume. A truck was paid for, no truck turn up. You know, this sort of thing. And then 6 o'clock in the night when we had to pay $1,000 to get someone to put a truck on it, just so our revelers could go participate. The truck came at 6 o'clock. And those people downtown jumped on that truck, and it was one of the greatest and most enjoyable scene I think I've ever seen. We had about 10 to 15,000 people jumping and going downtown 10, 11, 12 o'clock in the night. That had never been reported in the Jamaica newspaper. What was reported in the newspaper was downtown carnival never start. You see? And people wanted to hear that. Because in my honest opinion, is that somebody did not want me, Charles Simpson, to be known to the Jamaican public. So they had to do any little thing to chop the tree on me. So it was very, very hard. And I guess they didn't expect me to come back again, and the next year came with Fury Carnival. Fury Carnival pick up into the country and move, because like I said, a cycle is there and it's very hard to get into that cycle. And this year again I went down into the country. But the question you're asking, where we would like to see go from here. I would like to see go from here where it's under one umbrella. The name Jamaica Carnival, when I suggest it was to be registered, was so that it would represent the whole Jamaica. It didn't belong to me nor you. It's just to protect it, that nobody could really take it away. And then it was designed that my second year I would move from Byron Lee and create a band of my own, and hope that Orange Carnival would come in with a band of their own, so we could have people coming from three different directions of Kingston, just like how you see it in Trinidad or any other place. Because like I said, the idea was created out of what I saw in Trinidad. Over the years I go to Trinidad, I write, I put my little pieces together. And saw a little selfishness in there, but that's history. But I would like to see one umbrella where Oak Ridge Boys come under the Jamaica Carnival umbrella. Myself with Carnival Time comes under the Jamaica Carnival umbrella. Fury Carnival now comes under the Jamaica umbrella. The Masked Man come under. So instead of you have all these little carnivals all over the place, you will just have one Jamaica carnival with various
mass band, just like you'll have Hawks, Barakeets, four or five different bands, but they're all under one umbrella, which is Jamaica Carnival. So I'm hoping to see, and I think they're making headway in it, because we had several meetings with the tourist board this year, so as to try to put everyone under the same umbrella. So if it's successful, I wouldn't be using the word Carnival Time Jamaica no more. I'd be just saying CTJ Production, which is, would be the name of my mass band, you know. But I'm hoping to see we go under one umbrella. We cross over one stage, and I would like to see us coming from all different directions, you know, in all these colors. So you could be downtown, you're seeing the colors coming. You could be uptown, you could be side town, you could be wherever. And the whole city of Kingston is flooded with colors coming from all over. And then we go over to one or two stage where we could have the judging. Instead of what is happening now is that always on a Jamaica Carnival, which is Byron Lee Band. You see, that's Byron Lee Band, because he's the owner for Jamaica Carnival. And they are judging between themselves. So you really cannot find who is the best mass band in Jamaica, because presently all the various mass band is doing their own thing, because it's only Jamaica Carnival going over the stage, and they're judging sponsored section as the best section. It should not be that way. It should be mass band going over, and you judge the mass band. So it could be Byron Lee mass band is the best this year, or Oakage Boys could be the best, or Fury Carnival could be, you know, but that sort of competition, just like in any other country.
Well, what you highlight here is certainly some of the, what I would like to call the teeth and pains of a young carnival, which is only about 5 years in Jamaica. And could you tell me, from your experience, which are the major ethnic groups that participate in Jamaica Carnival? Because it seems to me that you're talking now about a kind of a situation where people who can afford to play carnival play in one section, and you are representative of a grassroots section, which, as far as I'm concerned, is the most important section in respect to putting carnival in Jamaica and developing it. What's your comments?
But that is carnival in a grassroots. You can't leave a grassroots without anything, because the carnival belongs to grassroots. Society can't run no carnival, because if society run it, it's going to crash. And too much sponsors can't run carnival. What am I going to sponsor pull out? You don't have anything. When the grassroots have it, that means the poor man created it on his own. He didn't have any sponsor. So whether a sponsor come on or not, the poor man is going to survive. He creates his own. Reggae music is created by poor man. It's not the uptown people. And that's why it's surviving. It's that simple. And if the best footballers in the world come out of Brazil, it's poor man come off the street. The finest boxer you find is poor man create their own thing. The best runners is poor man. Very seldomly you find anybody who comes out of society that is a top in anything. Poor man, because their sufferation came out of that. They create out of their sufferation. So, like I said, reggae music is a poor man thing. They discovered it themselves. They wasn't helped by anybody else. So if Jamaica Carnival is to grow and survive, the poor man have to have a piece of it, because it's a God-given gift poor men have. They create their own.
Now, what have you learned from living in Brooklyn and seeing Western American Day Carnival, Labor Day Carnival, and the kind of mass that has been played up here? What have you learned that would give you a better type of understanding of how to develop carnival in Jamaica?
Unity. There's one head, and the remainder fall under the same heading. Hawks is a part of West Indian Day Carnival. Burkitt is a part of West Indian Day Carnival. The Masked Men, Savage, they are all a part of it. The creativity is there, just like the creativity in making costumes. It's just like any other. One of my commitments years ago, and I think I was probably the first to start it, along with WLIB, God bless the station, and yourself, that gave me the support, and I was able to take Jamaicans for the first time taking part in West Indian Day Carnival in costumes. This was the first time, and I'm very happy to. One of the reasons why I did that and my commitment was to get Jamaicans here to start getting involved and feeling it, so they can move down to Jamaica and help to
get it expanded on a larger base. And I'm still very deeply in it. And one of the reasons why I'm here now, that's exactly why I'm here. I'm working on it. I'm working on getting my design here. First of all, I'll tell you one thing you asked much earlier, is that what I did this year, last year, I took a design, I think the design came from Sesame Flies, and I took it out to Jamaica. I mean, the suggestion to some of the bigger mass band down there that they should make the costume locally. And they laugh at me and say it's impossible. I did something this year, unbelievable. They don't, it doesn't come in the paper, but it's true. I took 5-6 pitch design from Sesame Flies, and I went down there. I went in the poor section downtown and buy the materials right downtown, take it to the country, give it to the people in the country to make it. I was able to sell the costume for $200. Started with Byron Lear when I told him, each person think I'm lying, but that's the truth, that's a fact. $200, and those people jumped like crazy. I had over 450 revelers in St. Elizabeth, jumping up and down. And the same thing in Maypen. So if you give them the break, give those poor guy the break, there's a chance that Jamaica Carnival will become larger. And one of the things that I'm here, and that's why I'm very happy Neville Hines decided to come down and help me to put my thing together so that we can make the costume affordable for the smaller person. And that is my commitment. So nothing wrong with uptown and the top of the one to define. But I think if they break it down and look at it from a Jamaica thing, our thing, the people of Jamaica, the people of Caribbean, it would be much easier for us to go. But learning, as you say, maybe because I'm involved, because as you know, I was involved with Hawks and I was involved with Barkeet, and I'm out on the parkway every year. I take quite a lot of the design that I see, and I think that is something that I can take. I like the design that I see. Like I said, Reggie Snall from Trinidad each year go to Jamaica with this big costume that he have in Trinidad, and I take them somewhere. So I learn by the designs I see. I learn by the way in which the trucks on the road, how the trucks set out, how the bands, there's so many things there. I'm always learning. I go on a plane to Toronto to learn. Look, and I learn. So what I see there, I take back. But if I'm to tell you the thing that I learned, I probably would never finish.
Now, some of the components of Carnival has to do with Calypso, which you touched on earlier, and has to do with steel band. Mm. How is that coming along in Jamaica? And what do you, if it's not as going as quickly as one would hope, what are the ways do you think that you can help to improve it, you being one of the founders of Jamaica Carnival?
First of all, I hear something going on in Jamaica now, happening in Trinidad, is happening in St. Vincent. I'm just so happy, I'm just cracking up over the whole thing. It's a ragga soca. It's just a mixture between the reggae music and the soca music. It's unbelievable. You know, every time I hear it, I just, something you dream for, and all of a sudden you see it coming right in front of your face. You know, they, a lot of people, poor Byron, they're knocking that he was bringing poor Calypso in it. But there was a reason. I left out reggae out of it. And there was a lot of reason. Reggae is the music of the people. It will find its way in there. You don't have to promote reggae. It will. You know, it's there. Soca music, I'll give you a little story about Jamaica. Anyone who think Calypso singers is not in Jamaica is crazy. Jamaica have the most hotels in the Caribbean. It have one of the most powerful tourist board behind it. Nearly every major hotel in Jamaica have its own band. And what do you think they sing in the hotel? So-called Calypso. So if anyone think that Jamaica don't have Calypso singers, they are crazy. Maybe more Calypso singers in Jamaica than the other Caribbean islands. Might sound funny. Think every hotel have a band and all those musicians are singing Calypso. So it is there. Yeah, and once again I say you can't take it away from the people because it is originating Jamaican blood.
What about steel band?
Steel band is popping up in Jamaica now. It is popping up. I probably can take you right now to Jamaica on a Friday evening. I can take you to hear a steel band. There's a gorgeous club on, I think it's on Eastwood Park Road, I think the name of it is Island Paradise, something like that. I'm not 100% sure. But you can go there on a Friday night and hear a steel band. Very good too.
You must remember that the West Indian Regiment, you know, the West Indian University, University of West Indies,
is in
Hope, and the culture from all the other islands are right there.
Intermingled.
Yes, so the steel band music is there, the calypso music is there, you know, costume design is there because UE have its own carnival in February each year. So you have a university carnival in Jamaica each year where they create their own design and whatever they might
really?
Bring. Yes, they might bring
it. I was not even aware of it.
Yes, and they have. And as a matter of fact, it might even be there before Jamaica carnival. So, you know, the culture is there.
Let me ask you a kind of a funny question. What do you like best about carnival?
The joy, the pleasure to see the people get together in one joy and harmony and just letting off all the frustration. It's just beautiful. The joy, people getting together in one, no hang up. There is no, this is the reason why I have to fight so hard for Jamaica. There's no Mr. So-and-so. On Carnival Day, Mr. So-and-so is just down the bottom.
And by Mr. So-and-so, you mean the upper echelons of society,
yes,
that's been put away?
Yes, that is thrown out through the window. He comes down, and the man who is down there comes up. Everybody is on one equal harmony. They're out there, they're jumping, they're drinking, they're tumbling, and it's joy. It's joy. And I think, and that's the reason why I'm so happy with Jamaica Carnival, because it is a matter for me that the other Caribbean island come down and we go there. Since the interception of Jamaica Carnival, you can't get on a flight to go to Trinidad out of Jamaica during Trinidad Carnival. And I'll tell you what we're in now, September, mm-hmm. and I guarantee if you call BV now, it's booked out for next year Carnival to Trinidad, which might be March of next year. So you see, the little work that we have done is now having a lot more Jamaicans going to Trinidad to see what Trinidad Carnival is like. They didn't know about it before, because now that they see Jamaica Carnival and they hear so much about Trinidad Carnival, they want to go and see it for themselves. You see, I can tell you of a group that we go to Trinidad every year. It's approximately about 300 of us. And they don't miss Panorama for nothing. And they have a little seat, a little area in the savannah. They know where to sit because they can tell you when they're going to buy the ticket. They know what seat to ask for because it's years ago in there, you know. So that group now, you have bigger group is going there. And Trinidad is coming down in flux, you know. You have other islands. And I love that. One of my goals when I was putting it together, I remember saying it very plainly to Mr. Lee when I was talking, that I would like to use Jamaica Carnival as a mega, just like West Indies cricket, to bring Caribbean people together. So I kind of dream about that. I like Caribbean people running from country to country, because it's always, you know what I would like to see too? I see white men with big money come to Jamaica and buy land. I'd like to see West Indian boy come and buy it, and I go to Grenada like your place go buy it, because it's our place. Mm. You understand?
Yep.
Who have money from Trinidad buying St. Vincent? It's our place. I hope and I pray God that I live to see something like the Federation back together.
Now, that's the most positive thing about Carnival. What's the least thing about Carnival that you like to talk about, in terms of the bad part of Carnival that you like to talk about?
Selfishness. Some people are selfish. They don't like to see other people be a part of it and get involved where it can go. They think that they can keep everything for themselves and nobody shouldn't participate in it. That to me, I don't see that in Trinidad. Maybe it's there, but because I'm an outsider, I don't know. I don't see it here in Brooklyn. I don't know. And I'm involved in the system here in Brooklyn. I'm in Jamaica and I see it and I don't like that. That kind of turned me off, you know. I hear one person tell me once that there was a statement made that somebody coming from America, here about Carnival and come from America because they want to mash up Jamaica once and come down for creating one. They denied it, but up to this year, somebody who was in the camp told me they were there and heard it. But they won't hear it, you know, come out of the man. So it's a selfishness, is a hell of a thing. And if we keep that selfishness to ourselves where we don't want other people to participate in it, then we're not going to go any place.
One of the things that I'm very happy about, but this year after the Maypen Carnival, I met with Byron Lee and he wanted me to come over. The both of us joined together and go on the parkway in Kingston this year. So I might be on the parkway in Kingston this year with him, jumping with him. So let's hope we can pull that one off.
Now, in Jamaica, you've been there since Carnival. You want the people who brought Carnival, and I keep stressing that you're one of the founders of Jamaican Carnival. I know I'm correct in that because you came to us to speak about it. What changes have you noticed in Jamaica Carnival over the years since you've been involved?
What changes? I think I mentioned it much earlier. The changes that I've seen is that there are other groups springing up, and that is very good for Jamaica. It's not a quote-unquote individual that owns Jamaica Carnival and then nobody else can participate. Because, for instance, Sarah Robert said, well, if I can't participate, I can keep my own. So Robert gets his own banner, his own truck, and on the road. And you have other people doing the same thing too. So I'm hoping that Robert and Tom and Dick can come under the one umbrella now, which is, you know. So there's a little change. It's still far, but there's a lot can be done. One of the changes also is that I've seen how the tourist boats get interested, where they're calling all the parties together and trying to get all the parties to come under one umbrella.
So government is getting involved?
I tell you this, Robert, and I'm sure you know this as a fact. Long before others get involved, that was one of our dreams, that the government will never get involved in Carnival, because we feel once government get in there, that's the end of it. They have a saying in Jamaica that anything government touch, it crash. You know, so that was a dream. What I do know now, I think Byron is getting old and he want to get out of it, you know. I don't think the sponsors really want him to get out of it just like that. But I think my personal dream is that I would like to see a committee govern and run Jamaica Carnival, where everybody can participate. It is not there by any one individual, you know, because one individual, it can be a sad story, you know. But there's room. What I like is that there's other people jumping up, and the tourist board is showing interest, and the people in the country is now enjoying it, because if you tell the people in the country before last year, with the exception of Manchester, about Carnival, they think you're crazy. No, they have seen there. St. Elizabeth is having their costume party parade. Mandeville have Maype and Clarendon have their costume parade. You see. So there's changes, there's improvement. And I'm sure somebody else is going to pick it up in another parish. Maybe give us another 15 years, you might have parishes coming together. All the parishes might be coming together to bring their major costume over one stage, where you'll have the inter-parish Carnival King or Carnival Queen, just like how you have the Mass Band Carnival Queen here. Maybe 15 years or so from now, you'll be seeing each parish bringing the King and Queen for the big parade. And you might be able to see a Juve, which I'm hoping, you know, will come. We haven't got Juve yet, but I think it will come, because our Carnival parade is kept on a Sunday. I tell you this, the church is very strong in Jamaica. The church is very strong. I ain't nobody going out there in a costume before 11.
Okay.
As bad as they might say Jamaicans are, it's a very religious country. Very religious country. I think the most industry, if you want to say, just say industry, if it's the right word, there's more church in Jamaica than probably any place else in the world. You know, so all the bad names you hear, they're talking about very religious. Very religious. So certain carnival things can happen before. You see, and as skimpy as they are, they have to be a little bit careful. You know, the church is very strong, very powerful.
That be that as it may, we've spoken a lot of on Jamaica Carnival. Let's just switch gears a little bit and speak about the Western American Day Carnival Association. What has been your impression of this carnival since you have lived in New York for what, over 20 years?
Mm-hmm. Well, it goes from strength to strength, and I'm very happy to see where it's going. I I like what I see. I have to comment Mr. Lazama and Miss Joyce Pamanar, I think it is, because it's not easy. I am feeling the pinch and I know the hardness, and there is much bigger than mine. And they are in it, so I know the separation that they go through, but it's a beauty. I think, in my opinion, it might be the largest carnival in the world, now outside of Rio, because Trinidad only have 1.5 million people. 2-3 million people is turning up at the Parkway, so it's more people at the Parkway than what is in Trinidad. So it has to be a larger carnival. What I am disappointed, though, I am disappointed because it seems that they are trying to take it away from us. That's the opinion. I hope I'm not wrong, but it looked to me like other influence or whatever trying to take that away from us. I watched it and I saw that carnival go from about, 3,000 or whatsoever it is. 300,000, we watch it grow and grow and grow until it is here today. I might think some people just selfish and they want everything for themselves. So they want to try to get the West Indian out of the Parkway. But what I would like Mr. Lazama to do is keep fighting, you know. First of all, the costumes are much better now because the materials are more flexible. You don't have that heap of thick wires again. Now you have those light metal wires that can do much, 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 much better and easier creation. So the costumes have improved tremendously. Also, you have to look at it that a lot of Trinidadians now or other islands now migrate here. So you don't have a little 50 or little 20% Caribbean people living here or there no more. Brooklyn is a Caribbean island, if you want to say. So there are more of us living here, so the artists develop more. The artists develop more. And what I find out too, the art is not only among us, it's gone into the Afro-American. And I think, and the Afro-American have accepted it. They have accepted it. And when you look, another thing that I'm very happy about is getting the children involved in the mass. Because while we go, the children will be replacing us. You know, so I'm very, very, very happy over that. But I'm a little bit disappointed this year. I saw something that I didn't like. I don't know if the mayor have anything to do with it. But the change of mayor, because this year for the first time,
Simpson, one of the founders of Jamaica Carnival, by Michael D. Roberts. You were speaking about the whole question of your impressions of West Indian American Day Carnival, which traditionally takes place on Labor Day on Eastern Parkway in Brooklyn.
Whatever was the problem, this year Carnival, I don't think was as enjoyable as previous one.
This is 1994 Carnival.
1994 Carnival. I think they have taken, somebody's holding a handle, and they have taken away a heck of a lot, a piece of the fun. These mass camp used to have all the little music and the little thing and the little, you name it. They play the iron at the back and they jump and they sing. They sell a little beer so that those little beer could afford to help them to pay for the costumes and all of that. Right. All those things were taken. You could walk around every mass camp this year and like it was like a ghost town. That means the real built up to the carnival was actually taken away from them. You had police truck park in front of mass camp from as early as 8 and 9 o'clock, which means from a man come there and see police like going, he's gone. Golden Pavilion, I just talked to the owner for Golden Pavilion a while ago. He said he couldn't believe it. As early as evening, two tow truck parked on his premises. In other words, he's stopping the people from having their party. When people see things like that, they get scared and go away. So you actually kill the whole built up of the carnival before it even take place. And you know, then you have to get out of the Eastern Parkway much earlier. There's too much politics in it, man. There's too, but you know what I'm glad about? It is teaching West Indian a lesson.
it is teaching West Indian a lesson. You got to vote. You got to vote. For instance, you take Jamaica. The government makes some law in the, I think it was 1979. You become a citizen wherever you live for the betterment of yourself. But that don't mean you lose your national citizen back home. Jamaicans and Caribbean people have to learn that. And I think all the other Caribbean should pick up that thing. Don't take away the citizen from the people. Let them become dual citizens so that they can vote. Because if you can vote in this country, you can vote a man in a position that will be better for your country. You understand? So we don't have a vote. So the people going to take away Eastern Parkway from us. If a politician freed 1 million people and we put three on the parkway.
So you think that the carnival is a, as it appears on Eastern Parkway on Liberty, is a serious latent political force you'll be looking at there?
Of course it is. There's no if and doubt about if and doubt about the whole thing. You see, it makes a politician realize we don't vote. And if a man knows you're not going to vote, why he going to waste time on you? Last year, even on a cut, we had a beautiful thing going. We had a beautiful thing going with it. I am not saying they shouldn't tighten up on certain things, because unruliness can break down a whole thing.
With 3 million people, you expect unruliness.
Yes, you see. So I agree with them tighten up on something, because I'm not into the unruly business. But I'm saying you can't expect to get something if you don't have a vote. And you notice we don't see some of them until the parkway. I stand up on the parkway and watch today. I saw so much politician. I was wondering what the hell going on, you know? And I saw something that I didn't like, and I hope later I'm gonna think about it. I saw, I think it was 3 sponsors event. The truck was on the parkway in a Fifth Avenue style. Caribbean Carnival is not a Fifth Avenue style. It's a people's thing. You know what carnival is, the people's thing. The music come, the truck out, you get in the line and you party. And when you have 3-4 trucks taking up almost 1/4 mile of a space, you understand, with nothing on it, just the truck reading the sponsor's name.
Partner.
If you want to say that, if you want to call him, go ahead. Taking up a whole 1/4 mile of the journey. Now you have mass camp that is out there begging on the knee, begging to get a little sponsor. I am saying, you just use the word Pathmark. What Pathmark could have done is sponsor a mass camp. That mass camp could come on there with his masquerade and his truck, same truck, with music on it. You follow me? Banners on it. And it would represent Pathmark.
So you're saying that one of the things that you want to see improved or implemented in respect to the West Indian American Day Carnival in Brooklyn is the more participation, better participation of corporate America.
Of course, we don't want, because it's totally different from Fifth Avenue or Manhattan type carnival. And I am saying that instead of you put an empty truck on the road, that's a Pathmark, and taking up 1/4 mile, you are, remember, we're getting off the parkway by 5-6 o'clock. You are actually depriving somebody who spent the whole year making costume to get a chance to come on the parkway. You follow what I'm saying, Robbie? You have to get on the parkway at a certain time and get off at a certain time. When you have 4 or 5 sponsors that don't have anything on it, taking up 1/4 mile, you understand? They are actually cutting out somebody who spent a whole year making costume trying to get in on the parkway. Now if 6 o'clock catch him and he's not on the parkway, he's gone. While you have 4 trucks driving on the parkway with nothing on it. If those corporate sponsors could have given that money to the sponsor and get more out of it. You follow what I'm saying? That means if that ban of 3-4 section, that 3-4 section included the truck with a ban on it, could be the representative of a Pathmark in this case. You understand? Mm-hmm. So we need more of them. You need a Bacardi having a ban on the road, whether they want to go to Hartsville, whoever they want to go to, but get involved in the carnival system. Don't bring Manhattan style.
Now, what about the city? This carnival is reputed to bring in excess of over $50 or $60 million to New York City. Some other economists put the figures even more than that. What about the city getting in on the act? Apart from sanitation and other things, the city doesn't do anything. What would you like to see the city do for the Western American Day Carnival on Labor Day?
What would I like to see the city do is to have to develop it up instead of cut it down, because they're cutting down the mass camp. I would like to see they encourage it more. Encourage more mass camp. Unfortunately, by putting police truck and thing in front of a mass camp to stop them, it's not helping it, because it's bringing in mega bucks. Mega bucks. And let's face it, you know, these mass camps start from nothing years ago, and it's hard work to bring it to this point. So to cut it down now, you're actually taking away. Let's look at Atlanta. Atlanta Carnival, where the mayor, I think mayor, what is the name, put so much energy in. You know, Atlanta Carnival is growing at a rapid pace. You see, the city got involved. The hotels around, the airlines, everybody involved. We are bringing in mega bucks into this country. I think the city, or maybe the state, is looking at as a bunch of jokers, West Indian, who just jumping up and down for one day, but they forget the dollars that is coming in. I would like to see they allow us to hit the road maybe earlier, to hit the road maybe later. I would like to see they give us a longer. Instead of getting off at 5, you start away, you take and you get off, you finish out at the Prospect Park there, that roundabout. Yeah. I wouldn't even mind to see it go all the way down to Flatbush, or coming from Flatbush all the way up.
So you would advocate certain structural change?
Yes, I think so. What I would like to see happen also is, I would like to see an area, it's hard to say, for them to build a stadium. I know a friend of mine liked the idea of them building a stadium. But I would like to see something built where, for instance, though, you take the final judging stand at, I think it's at Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Auditorium there. I would like to see something like a place where they have to go through, where people can go in, sit down, and watch the spectacle. And I wouldn't mind to see people pay something, because these guys put out the best. These guys go through all this trouble to create all this art. And not that it's going to waste, because it's our style, but you have to go to somewhere where you can sit and watch the show and watch the ability, the creativity of the individual pay something that he can make something of his work. So I would like to see something built where, whether it's in Prospect Park or wherever it is, but you should be able to pay for something.
What kind of statement do you think that Carnival, with 3 million people, the Western American Day Carnival parade on Labor Day, what kind of statement do you think that makes to New York City as a whole?
Caribbean people is here. Caribbean people is here, and we're here to stay, and they have to accept us, because we are not no more a little group of people that is out there. We are a force now to reckon with. The only thing that we have to do, and people like myself and maybe you, have to go out there and preach that we have to vote. We are here now. I think that's the statement. The city and the state have to realize that we are not a group of people that you just take for granted anymore. And you must remember, you know, the 100,000 of us that still don't go out there. So we are here. The Italians are here. They established. The Polish have their day. The Irish have their day. And I'll tell you something to think about it. Might sound funny. Any of those parades draw more people than us? Can you tell me? The Irish don't draw 3 million people out there. Right? The Polish parade don't draw 3 million people out there. The Puerto Rican parade don't draw 3 million people out there. The West Indian parade draw 3 million people. So what do you say? We are here. They're going to have to live with us. But what we have to do is get our thing together and vote.
That's what we have to do.
Now, about two years ago, there was a move to rechristen or rename Eastern Parkway, Caribbean Parkway, because of the fact that Eastern Parkway has become famous as a result of the West Indian American Day, Labor Day parade, the carnival parade down that stretch. What's your views on that?
I tend to like that idea. Now, anything for Caribbean, I'm behind it. It's a very funny question because you know I'm going to defend Caribbean, isn't it? I'm a little bit disappointed though because, you know, I saw something happen this year I wasn't happy with. For the first time I saw it. While I was walking on the side street from Rogers Avenue going down to Schenectady, on the right side, walking down, I think it was from Brooklyn Avenue down to Schenectady, well, actually fenced out. It was fenced out where nobody could walk. There were no revelers, no stall, no nothing at all. It was the Jewish era, so it was completely fenced out, and none of us couldn't go there. I don't know if you saw it.
I did.
You see? And I think that is bad, because for years we've been going there, and no incident didn't happen. So why this year all of a sudden you're going to fence out other people? If they expect us to live together, why are they fencing us out? Think about it. For years we used to be jumping about there and there was no trouble. They expect us to live together. So why you fence it out? In other words, you're creating the city and the people there. It's creating a problem that doesn't exist. You see? So they are just as guilty as what they have in their head. They're creating a problem. The city and its people is creating a problem in their own. For years, Caribbean American parade is going on there, no incident there. Why all of a sudden you think an incident is going to be there that you have to fence it out? Because you're gonna, these things create hatred. Because if you come and you see it, you're going to say, what am I fencing me out for? Them Jews over there try to stop us from coming. Is the first thing you're going to say, you know? All them Jews might say, we don't want them selling for bitches over here. It's been going on for years and we didn't have the problem. Who came up with the idea this year? I would like to see it straight. And you ask a question about Eastern Parkway, why I love it. We have seen signs where they don't want us here. Fortunately, it's to me, that's how I see it. You see, we've been there for years. Now I hear the Jews want us off the parkway at 6 o'clock because they say next year is the next day is their holiday. We must keep the parade. The next day is their Sabbath. But we must keep it on Sunday. Don't the Jews realize that Sunday is our Sabbath? You understand? And why all of a sudden you want to get us off the parkway? You see, a lot of people talk and politicians talk and just talk and talk. I am here from 1970, and that era was a very, because what you call it, there was a time bomb going there a long time. If politicians was involved, they would have realized that there was a time bomb going there long before the incident with the car happened. You know how much black people feel that when you walk in that era, every corner have a policeman. They are well protected. How many corners in a black neighborhood you see with a policeman? You don't think black people see that and feel away? So there was a time bomb there a long time, long before Kachi even get involved.
But still, irrespective of all that ethnic problem, carnival still went on without a problem and has gone on even in the height of the Gavin Cato problem. When there was rioting in Crown Heights, it went off with no incident up to this year. Why do you think that's so?
Let me tell you something. I listen to the radio a lot. I'm a news person. People might accuse WLIB and say WLIB is a racist station. I don't think WLIB is a racist station. I think what WLIB is doing is educating black people. They were never educated before. So somebody is coming forward now and saying this and that and that and that. I think the most racist radio station I've ever heard in my life is the ABC. The most, if they don't hit on a black topic, nobody telephone them. So they have to keep on knocking black. It's people like those that are on ABC cause all them Jewish problems to be going around. Because when people hear, you have a grant, oh God, forget them, I don't even know some of them names. It's the most racist radio station I've ever heard in my life. You understand? And to me, I think those people is causing more racial tension in the state, more than the people and themselves.
because they are the instigator of these things.
On Carnival Day in Crown Heights, this interviewer witnessed groups of Hasidim children between the ages of 11 and 13 holding hands and walking through the parade and walking through revelers and mass band unperturbed without any problems. And the mass people didn't even have a problem, perhaps didn't even know they were there. They went on the business of having fun on the parkway. So, and it struck me that perhaps Carnival taught us that we should be living together and just respect each other's culture. What's your opinion on that?
Let me tell you something. Black people is one of the most humblest sort of people you have on this earth. Black people, you ever watch boxing? Every time a fight finished, you know, the first thing a black boxer said, thanks Almighty God. The first thing, and take note of it, black people always travel with the Bible. It's one of the most peaceful, loving set of people, and that's why they're so prey upon and take advantage taking of them all the time. Those Jews could walk there morning, noon, and night, and their soul would have troubled them. As a matter of fact, for what I know of my people, they would be more welcome to participate. When you have people who's trying to separate them and create a problem, that's where the problem is. Because did you see the amount of Italians out there selling hot dog and Frankfurt? And anybody trouble them? They're white. Anybody? Look how many people buy from them. If the Jewish man opens a store in the middle of that street, people going to buy from him same way. He have nothing to fear about. His people like what I'm talking about. His ABC cause the fear. You see? Black people in Carnival don't have time for pay white people for create a problem. They don't have time because it's not our nature. It is not our nature to go pick up the white man and go beat him. It's not our nature. You have to do somebody's question to ask. I was saying to somebody the other day, I think his name, what the politician name, Berkowitz? You think a black man can beat him down, you know? You know why they can't beat him? Because the people love him to death. The Caribbean people love him. If you put the highest Caribbean man to run against him, he can't win. Because he does what the Caribbean people want. And the people. So what I'm saying, whether you're black or white, if these people love you, there's nothing, nobody can do your thing. So when you're talking about the Jewish children, they could have walked from now till eternity. Nobody would have troubled them. But how many, you think you can tell Grant that? Grant and ABC, you think you can tell him that? You think you can tell those fools? Those fools, if they don't talk to put down black this and that, now they're living on Clinton. Maybe they're a bunch of, I don't know. But
now,
people in Crown Heights can live together as one. And that is what a lot of people in Jamaica, in the community want to know. They don't need anybody to push a fire to create any animosity between them. They can live as one. And it's very simple because we know our people. Our people are not just troublemakers. You know, if they're going to rob, they rob anybody. If we is going to rob, we rob black, we rob white. We rob Jews, we rob Chinese. You see? So you don't have to say we're going to rob the Jews. Are we going to rob the Chinese? We'll rob anybody.
Now, do you see Carnival as a unifying force between blacks and Jews in Crown Heights?
No, I don't. I don't. It's night and day, in my honest opinion. Jews don't know nothing about Carnival and they don't have a clue what we are doing. We know what we are out there having fun, great fun. And we are, the Jews, it's total. It's night and day. It can't work. The Jews in stage with the window and say, what the hell are they doing out there? And maybe they want to, but they're having fun. Those people crazy. That's not their thing, but it's our thing. So Carnival will never bring us together. I think just the average everyday living, taking the train to go to work together, taking the train back from work together, going to this one store and buy something because they need it, that one buy. Going to school over there because the child living in this neighborhood don't want to go to school. That is what I think will bring us together. But Carnival would absolutely nothing. It's night and day.
Now, finally, I'd like to just ask, over the years we've seen a lot of different Caribbean countries participating on Eastern Parkway in respect to the Carnival. Do you see an upsurge in participation from the Jamaican community based on the fact that they did not have a carnival tradition per se?
You're talking to me who started it a couple of years ago. You know, I have a commitment on that. Like I told you a couple of years ago, for the first time, I did mention it early, I went out. I ran for almost 2-3 months on the radio for all Jamaicans to come and participate. I think it was with Barkeet last month. And I think we got about 170 Jamaican participate, but surprisingly most of them went and played into other section. We only had about 50 something in the Jamaican section. They went and joined another section and they had a ball and they were well received. I was a little bit disappointed at first because, and I'm still a little bit disappointed because there's quite a lot of members of the Barkeet organization that was completely opposed to it. And they start to give us the Jamaican bad name. We're going to come there with gun, come fight and mash up the party and this and that. But, you know, they were surprised. They were surprised because, you see, Jamaicans get a lot of bad name, but people don't know it's less than 5% of Jamaicans give trouble, you know. And it's just that the noise makers are louder than the other one, you know. But I have to say thanks to Fuzzy because I remember when I went to Fuzzy and asked him for help, to help me to make my costume and design for Jamaica. He said this to me, I'll never forget it. He said, all I'm asking for you to do is to get Jamaicans to come out and participate in Carnival and be a part of it. And I promised him that I would do that. That's when I went to Jane Washington from LIB and we sit down and we run the radio commercial and everything. It was good to see him. They had a ball, you see. And you want to tell the good thing that came out of it? The Barkeet members saw that there was a complete opposite side of Jamaicans. That's a good thing come out of it. And people start to laugh at some of them and you see how the people enjoy themselves. We used to go there Friday night and party, no problem. So there was a good thing out of it and I'm very happy out of that because the doubters who believe that we were troublemakers were convinced. Not when like that. An incident happened one night and I laughed. Jamaican didn't wasn't even there. So I said to them, say, see, blame Jamaican all the time about gun. Jamaican fire. You think it's a Jamaican war could have gone? You know. So something good came out of it because the doubters who believe that they were a bunch of troublemakers, you know. You saw what happened on the parkway this year. There are so many Jamaican truck on the parkway this year.
There's an increased presence this year.
Yes. But what I would like to see
is more mass.
More mass. I would like to see them get involved in mass. And I think, I don't know, why I'm back and forth in Jamaica, you know, I don't know, I think people like club owners like us and other club owners, you know, and
sponsor bands.
Yes. I see where like, I think is the bakery, Royal Caribbean Bakery, who put a truck on the road. He should insist that if I'm putting a truck on the road, you people should be in mask, you know, because it don't have to be this heap of money. You see, you have masks that can be done very cheaply, you know. That's the reason why I picked it that first year. I picked the cheapest costume, which was, I think it was $50-something. Everybody come and say, Charlie, costume too cheap. I went and buy a costume for $100. I'm playing with more expensive section. So, but that was the reason why I opened it up, because I wanted to get Jamaican participation. There's room for that. There's plenty of room for that.
Well, Mr. Simpson, on behalf of the Brooklyn Historical Society, in whose behalf I'm doing this project, I want to thank you very much for the time and wish you all the best.
Well, you know, like I said, I'm a Caribbean person, and anything that I can do, you know, speak openly. And whatever I say, I think it's facts, because I don't have to go around the corner and say, what doesn't go like that? Anyone can question me. I can take me to court, because I can defend whatsoever I say.
Thank you very much, Charlie.